does it seem so inviting? Autumn in New York, it spells the thrill of first nighting.
Autumn in New York is better if you just have a cocktail in your hand, I think. Well,
Sinatra always said that before he sang the song.
Anyway.
Well, it seems only appropriate then, with the beautiful voice of Ella Fitzgerald in the background, that we talk about Yankee Distillers. They're located in the heart of Saratoga County in Clifton Park. They distill all of their products in small batches at their facility in custom Italian-made copper stills, where they use 100% unmalted New York State grain for their bourbon, rye, vodka. As we make our way to the holiday season, we think about great cocktails for this autumn. Yankee Distillers co-owners Scott Wenning and Matt Jaeger, they join us to talk about the distillery and to make cocktails for us. We also welcome guest tasters Bill Dolan, who's a dear friend, as well as the reason that I know about Yankee Distillers, and a regular customer, I should say. And
it shows.
and Ray Graff, who, as I've said, often contractually obligated whenever we do these shows that we're in each other's programs.
Somebody's got to do it.
That's right. We need a designated host. Okay. Well, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, Joe.
It's very good to have you here. So who wants to, is it Scott or Matt who would like to tell us the brief history of Yankee Distillers and how you came to be? Okay. Matt, you have just been pointed to by Scott, so it's all you.
Get a little closer to that microphone, sir.
It's pretty straightforward. We're just very passionate about making craft spirits, whiskey in particular. That's really what our reputation is based on. We've been open for just over 3 years now. It doesn't surprise us when even local folks sometimes haven't heard of us yet, because we've been really kind of keeping a low profile for the first few years while we waited for our whiskey to age. It's one of the tricky things about opening a whiskey distillery is that your product has to spend some time in barrels before you can sell it, or before you can sell it with some time under its belt. So we're very proud that now all of our whiskey is coming out at more than 2 years old. So that makes, for American whiskey, that makes it straight whiskey, straight bourbon, straight rye. We also have a single malt and a wheat whiskey coming out shortly. So now we're going to start being available a little bit more widely. And, you know, we're just really excited about spreading our passion for what we do to more and more folks as time goes on.
That's really great. Scott, anything you would like to add to the origin story?
Oh, well, it's, Matt and I just got together and, you know, we found a common passion and we've worked to put together this place. And long hours and dedication.
You know, if that's, it just seems like that's the formula for everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
If it were just easier than that.
Radio, too?
Yeah, radio. Don't you think so? Yeah, long hours, dedication?
If you say so.
having a very patient and supportive family helps.
Yeah, so absolutely, absolutely. Now you have come, I don't know, The studio smells amazing.
Yeah.
It smells fantastic. So I know you're going to make three cocktails for us. We will have recipes up for you by the end of the day. So if people want to follow along at home, they can, and perhaps try these over the weekend. But in the meantime, tell us what you've got for us.
Sure. It's kind of a tricky thing. Scott and I both usually work behind the bar in the tasting room up at the distillery in Clifton Park. And we're very lucky to have a lot of dedicated regulars who love the drinks, the classics that we make day in and day out. But, you know, at the same time, people always come in and they ask, you know, what's new?
Yeah.
So that's a challenge for a bartender, is you want to, you know, you're perfecting that old fashioned, that Manhattan, you know, you're just, but, you know, people do want to see something new. They want to see some variety. So the seasons just kind of naturally lend themselves to creating a reason to have some variety on the menu. And, you know, you just end up kind of playing with the flavors, the aromas, or, you know, just things evocative of the season. So for this season, I'm not quite sure what we should call this. It's still a lot of leaves on the trees, but it's freezing.
It's weird.
And it's, yeah. So for this coldish season, we put a few things on our menu. The first thing that I will start shaking as soon as I'm done talking near this microphone is a drink that which actually seems like a summery drink because it's got some fruit flavors in it, but I make it with jam. It's a blackberry bourbon smash, which seems like a weird thing to have in the colder months, but you have to remember that jams or preserves are the way that we enjoy fruits, which you would normally harvest or pick during the warmer months. That's right. How you enjoy those flavors into the colder months. So
correct.
I make this cocktail with blackberry jam.
How much blackberry jam?
A generous bar spoon.
Per
and,
drink.
And I have to apologize in advance. I normally have my mom's excellent homemade blackberry jam at the distillery. I haven't actually put this drink on the menu at the distillery yet, so I'm ashamed to say I'm using Smucker's today.
Oh,
so
right. Smucker's is good, right?
No, it works.
It's just fine. It's just fine. A squeeze half a lemon, and then I make a little syrup with raw honey and ginger tea. So it's got some nice, you know, it kind of pushes right up to the flavor profile of like a hot toddy, but it's got that the bourbon in there as well. And it's funny. So once I bring something out, you know, for a seasonal drink, if folks love it, people are going to ask me for this all summer long, and I say no.
We're gonna hold it.
In the spring and summer, we'll have other things on. So give me
all
one
right,
second.
All right, so you can shake
Whoops,
away there.
That's all right.
All right. That's a great sound, isn't it? Yeah. It just sounds fantastic.
You have to really shake it a long time
this
to get
I
the
do.
Jam.
Yeah.
To
yep. Yeah. Especially if it's a nice.
Is this your own idea? This recipe?
You know, I don't. Anytime I think I came up with something new, it's a quick Google search, and you realize that there's nothing new under the sun.
I've been drinking whiskey for decades. I don't recall ever having anything with jam in it.
It is not an uncommon.
Okay.
My particular recipe is.
Boy, you're a lousy roadie, Joe. I got to be honest with you. Fog Hat will never hire you. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, I thought I could get him mic'd, but.
Well, it's got some it's got some performance anxiety that particular
yeah,
mic.
That's not gonna work.
All right, that's
plenty more shaking and pouring.
Oh, okay. All right, there you go.
It's beautiful in color.
Yeah, a beautiful color. You know, from the blackberry.
I'm thirsty.
Like I said,
I guess we'll have to share.
Yeah, that's good.
I like
fruity, but not like, you know, not like a summery drink. It's not something you'd drink on a beach cabana. It's
something to
help you remember what fruit flavors taste like when it's cold outside.
Yeah.
And now this is the bourbon, right?
Yep, bourbon blackberry smash.
Wow.
And that's it's a good couple ounces of bourbon in there, but. You know, it kind of just folds, folds right in with the other flavors.
That's good.
Yep.
Oh man. And what do you think, Bill? Do you like the bourbon?
Yes, I've sampled this.
Okay. You have experience.
So you guys are enjoying the drinks then?
And yes. It's up to par.
It is up to par.
Okay.
Yes.
Terrific.
There you go, Ryan.
Okay, I'll have a sip. Thank you.
Yeah.
And this one actually, I just brought in rocks glasses. When I send you the complete menus, it'll specify. I normally put it in a mason jar. It's like it's evocative of the preserves that
we can, like drinking out of mason jars.
Yeah.
The bourbon still shines through. It's nice.
Thanks, man.
Really nice.
That's very good. Okay, so that is a bourbon blackberry smash. Smash.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, what are we going to do here?
So this is something I came up with. With little inspiration from other drinks.
Okay.
This is one I just put on, and it is on in our tasting room right now. I call this one the cordwood. Again, we weren't really sure if we should start calling these fall or winter seasonal drinks with everything that's going on outside right now. But, you know, regardless of how kind of strange it appears outside right now, everybody has to turn their heat on in their houses.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make something that kind of reminded me of the smells of turning the heat on in your house. This had previously had a different name, disparaging of our favorite local utility company.
Wow. Oh, that's
but
great.
I was encouraged to change it.
Yeah.
Because somebody suggested that a lot of people might take Instagram photos.
Yeah, that's
good
probably
point,
true.
Good point.
So now named the cordwood. I so this one. Go
Okay. Now, now, Ray, I will let you.
No, you go ahead.
No.
You're the host.
I had a couple of these this weekend.
Oh, really?
I've tried this one.
To be clear, my case of typhus is gone now. So
I know
you can actually share this.
No. Well, first of all, that would kill anything. But second of all, it's just a great cocktail.
And so, what is this?
I describe it. I put an Instagram post up a few days ago where I described it as a whiskey sour wearing mittens.
Okay.
This is rye whiskey.
I don't know what that means, but it makes sense.
A syrup that I make with rich brown sugar and a bunch of spices: cinnamon, black peppercorn, clove, a little star anise, and that really is what drives home the seasonal flavor profile here. And then just juice of half a
this,
lemon.
This so is, tell to me a winter drink. It really has that taste.
Sure, and I look forward to calling it winter and actually seeing snow outside and all.
Now tell us about the lemon.
I just juiced a whole bunch of lemons outside. Oh, and I do garnish this with a dehydrated lemon wedge. Again, I just wanted you to look at it and visually.
No, it's fine.
To know that this is like I said, a whiskey sour with mittens.
Yeah, it is. It's an amazing, it's very nice. Amazing drink, and thanks. It's very smooth and very just lovely.
Thanks. And as in the case of the smash too, where the bourbon still shines through.
I agree.
In this one, you know that this is built on rye whiskey. That peppery spice, that cinnamon spice, that's typical of our rye. It's still very.
It's
heavy.
Like a cold toddy.
That's fair.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Thanks, man.
I got a. I got an urgent text about a week and a half ago. Bill texted me and said, you just stop what you're doing and you have to come down here. This was the cordwood.
Yeah, I told Matt it was the greatest cocktail I ever made. But he replied until my next one.
So. We got other things on deck, too. I do like to keep the recipes fairly simple so that folks can make them at home, too. Like, using syrups, as I did in this one too, it's a way to do a lot of the work of creating these flavors up front, so that you don't have to do it when you're actually making a cocktail. It's a lazy cocktail. You just saw me make it in 30 seconds.
Right. Yeah, but that's nice when you're at the bar because it's just.
I've had people offer to buy the syrup off of me. It's really rich and flavorful, and it's kind of the secret ingredient in this one.
Now, what is when you say like the difference, the ultimate? Yeah, I want to remember.
Yeah, you got to have that. Yeah.
The ultimate difference between if you took the mittens off to make it a old fashioned, mm-hmm. what would you not put in this?
Well, so no, this was a whiskey sour.
Oh, I'm sorry,
and
whiskey,
so you know, like a whiskey sour is typically made with bourbon whiskey, fresh squeezed lemon, sugar or simple syrup, and some folks will do it with a little egg white, put a little foam on it.
Yep.
Serve it.
Do you like the egg white, Bray?
No, I mean I can do without it.
I don't. You know, we try not to use like any animal protein at the place just because some people didn't like it. Interestingly, for anybody who would like to use egg white in a cocktail, you can do a vegan substitute, which is you take the water from a can of chickpeas. It does.
I've heard
thing.
That.
It's a substitute for it. So we'll do that sometimes for the sour.
You are the perfect public radio guest.
I can go off on tangents all day long.
Sure. We got time. Go ahead.
Chickpeas. Yeah. That's great. That is, and I assume doing well at the establishment.
We've had to buy more of the molds that we use to make these big cubes because we go through, a couple dozen of these cocktails every evening now.
Now, this is just for show, right?
This
the big
built.
Cubes don't do
no,
anything
no, no,
special.
No, no, it melts. If I was to put, a smaller cubed ice in here, half of it would have turned into water already. You know, and so this is why, and I didn't even use a small cube in the smash, but it's a very intentional choice because I did not want this to get watered down. And sometimes you'll
Mine
see folks.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, look at that. Yeah. Sometimes if you see folks
you lick the glass, Ray.
Use big spheres instead of cubes. So the sphere minimizes the surface area for a given volume. So if you go to like an expensive cocktail bar or a whiskey bar and they offer you a big sphere, that's so that you can bring the temperature down in the whiskey or in the cocktail. While minimizing the amount of water transfer into the.
Yeah. Well, a little water helps though, right? Usually.
A little,
It depends on the person's taste.
You guys are making single malt now?
Yes.
So
we've been making
a drop of
That's what the
spring
that's,
water. I mean,
that's what the Scots want you to believe.
No, I believe it too. No, okay, having had my share of single malt, I think it does open up the flavor profile.
Oh, and they'll sell you magic water to use.
I don't need magic water. All right, give me a Brita filter. I'm good to go.
Unicorn tears.
How much time do we have to get into talking about the differences between Scotch whiskey and American whiskey? I'm joking, but. No,
well, we got time.
You can't,
so we like
you
10
can't
minutes.
Call it Scotch. You can call it single malt,
American
right?
single malt, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Scotch whiskey has to be made in Scotland, and then there are a number of protected American whiskeys as well. Ours, contrary to the Scotch tradition, where it's aged in used barrels,
protected.
American whiskey is always aged in brand new barrels every time. So,
yeah.
Just like our bourbon, our rye, we also have a wheat whiskey coming out. Our American single malt is aged in brand new barrels every
and
time.
And how long will you age your single malt?
Right now, we're bringing everything is coming out at more than 2 years, so it's a straight American single malt.
Do you have a barrel or two set aside for a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old?
Sure, we have many, and it's funny. Like
you got to see this place. Right?
People ask us if we have a barrel that's set aside. I mean, they're all set aside. We would very much like to. Be around long enough to where we're selling 10-year-old
whiskey. Well, if
you're
not, just give me a call.
Yeah. Right.
And if you need space,
my garage.
Let us know.
Yeah.
Our
do you
green
have a bonded
room?
Garage?
Do I have a bonded garage?
Bondo.
It's a remarkable malt whiskey, though. We just actually won a whole pile of medals for.
Well, I'll be interested to try that.
Yep.
I love Scotch and. I'll be honest with you if it doesn't measure up, but you think it's good stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, we deal in honesty.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep.
We literally manufacture truth serum, so we really
can't.
Excellent. All right. What's our grand finale cocktail here?
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm so ready.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Have you?
Whoa. Wow. Wow.
Suddenly it's a Siegfried and Roy show. Smoke is coming out.
I think we've elected a pope.
So, you know, I talked about how we're kind of like always trying to tweak the perfect old-fashioned up there.
Yeah.
But we still do make kind of, you know, regular.
I love an old-fashioned. All
regular
right?
seasonal tweaks to them still. Like
where are the cherries?
No cherries.
Dude, it's an old fashioned.
Doesn't have to have cherries.
You have to muddle the orange and the cherry with a muddler.
No, that's a Manhattan.
No, boys. No.
If you have a really lousy bourbon you're trying to cover up, put a whole bunch of fruit in there. That's fine.
You know what? Okay.
All right.
Let's
so
agree to disagree.
So we make our bourbon.
Oh, man, that smoke is. That's great. That smells great.
And the smoke alarm will be going off momentarily.
I'm going to open the door for a second.
That's
all right.
We use a very small amount of a cherry wood smoked malt in our bourbon, and it makes for a much more complex, or I say a much livelier bourbon than most of the typical Southern offerings. So for us, we found that the flavor of orange, the orange oils in particular, just walk right up to that smoke, and it makes for a beautiful cocktail.
Okay. And so the name of this would be what?
This is our old fashioned. This is what we're making.
Got a lighter, Joe. This is not going to end well.
No,
I've
sampled this one too. This is a great drink.
I love an old fashioned.
Oh,
and
great.
So what we've been doing at the distillery now is we just got actually one of our beloved regulars built us a custom smoker for our cocktails.
Brian Shields, Midday Magazine host, in 10 minutes, just walked by, not looking pleased.
No, I hope he's going to tape that billboard.
Okay.
All right.
And
are there bitters in this?
Yes.
Okay. Which bitters are you using?
I just use Angostura. I haven't found reason to switch from that. And instead of using simple syrup, we do use a maple here because between the maple, the orange walks right up to the lively bourbon.
Oh, that's great. And again, the whiskey comes through. It is really nice. And your whiskey is excellent. As I told you guys before the show, I bought a bottle for Giants games. It has not helped the Giants, but it's helped my enjoyment of the games.
Nice.
Now, this is my favorite drink that you make. This is a beautiful, perfect cocktail as far as I'm concerned.
I appreciate it.
This is really good.
You think that when they first invented this, they called it an old-fashioned? It wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Brand new. this is an amazing an amazing drink. What is the? I ask all of you this, but what do you think the key? What is the key? I mean, obviously it's the whiskey, right? It's the, that was the key to the old fashioned.
Yeah. So yeah. we're in a unique position in our tasting room or at our bar of having a much more intimate knowledge of the whiskey that we're building these cocktails on.
Right.
So we know the flavors, all the way down to the grain that they were made from. So we can tweak the other ingredients in that cocktail with a full knowledge of what went into the cocktail itself.
Now,
or the whiskey itself.
So you obviously you bottle, you sell. People like to. This is one of these things I always have trouble with, because you can either go home and you can make it for yourself, or you can just go to your place and let you make it for us.
You live very near. Yeah. It's very easy for you. I make my own.
All right. That's all right. No, but see, like Bill, he likes to do it, right? I mean, you enjoy the creation.
Yeah, yeah. I observe Matt for 3 years now, so I try to create some stuff.
Don't get me wrong. I love to.
Bill have a job?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's making my drinks.
Well done. What, you're like Jackie Gleason now? Well, good for you.
We love teaching people how to make these things, too. Yeah. I mean, if you come in, we're showing people how to make this all the time. I can't tell you how many jars of Luxardo cherries I have sold from our bar. Not that we're selling them. They're ordering them on Amazon right in front of me when I give somebody a Manhattan made with our Luxardo cherries, because they just really transform that drink.
I love the bourbon, though. And you're sitting in the sweet spot of about 92, 93 proof. Mm-hmm. It's perfect strength level in my book. Mm-hmm. What have you guys learned now in 3-4 years of being in operation? About your craft.
Huh. Patient.
Yeah. Really, I mean, you can't survive in this craft without being a very patient person. And while, you know, Scott and I think are both admittedly kind of control freaks about this, you saw how careful I was in making the cocktails.
Yeah.
There's you relinquish a little control as soon as you put that whiskey in the barrel, and you have to learn to be surprised. So, you know, we've only been open, like I said, for 3 years now. So we're pulling whiskey out as old as 2.5 years,
right, but
a little bit more.
Now the fun begins.
We've given control over to the. You know, there's a term for the loss due to evaporation that occurs in the barrel. It's
the
called
devil's
the angel share.
The devil's cut.
That's
no,
garbage.
Glass half full, half empty. I think we got to.
But you know,
we'll debate that enough.
All right, fine.
It suggests a tradition of ascribing a certain amount of what happens in the distillery to magic or supernatural forces. And while, you know, it's not angels drinking the whiskey or devils taking their cut.
Really,
there is some magic, and the transformation that occurs in the barrel due to oxidation is completely out of our control. So you really have to learn to let go and just let the forces of nature and magic happen.
Okay, so we let go, but we also monitor, and so we will taste every barrel.
Yep, monitor is a fancy way of saying we drink whiskey. it's tough work.
Well, I've been monitoring for like 40 years. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who knew?
I was monitoring off of that. That's not funny.
But it's true. But but it can be a surprise, right? You don't know what's going to happen then.
Well, we pretty much know. But sometimes a barrel will take a little beer, you know, in a direction we hadn't expected.
Why, though? The quality of the wood?
It's oxidation.
It's magic.
Typically, you know, as the barrels are sitting in storage, they're breathing. They're getting warm and cool.
Is it the placement of the barrels?
I've heard
of places where they have some on the third floor, some in the dark on the fourth floor.
Yeah, and so, you know, I wish that our warehouse was large enough to have
build
that
more
problem.
Floors.
No, it's going to happen over time regardless. Temperature fluctuations certainly play a role, or you know how exaggerated those fluctuations are, but it's transforming certain compounds in the spirit that you put into that barrel into new compounds over time due to oxidation.
So when you guys are 60, mm-hmm. assuming you are still in the business, you will know, oh, I have to put this barrel in this corner because the conditions in this corner, the dark, the temperature, the humidity.
We have thought about that level of monitoring. Right now, we're just trying to keep the lights on.
I hear you, brother.
So I often say that, you know, our what we're doing is trying to be very careful about balancing a healthy respect for tradition with, you know, our motivation, which is a desire to really push things forward. So we do some really experimental things as well. So, you know, with any experiment, you have to remove variables. It's tough to do when your feedback loop is years long.
Yeah.
One thing we're experimenting with quite a bit right now is, so brewers are very fond of used whiskey barrels.
Right.
And we've sent our barrels to a lot of local brewers. One thing that we've been kind of tinkering with is taking those brewers, the barrels back after the brewers have used them and resting our aged whiskey.
So after 3 years, you put the bourbon into a different barrel.
Into a beer barrel.
I'm all for that.
We have
I vote in favor of that.
We have a special release. We have a special release bourbon coming out at the end of the month. It was a straight bourbon aged for more than 2 years in new oak that we moved into a barrel that had previously been used by Rare Form in Troy to age a porter that they make, which is a great beer. Their Carrasco porter is great.
That porter is amazing.
And then we rested that whiskey for 14 months in that barrel, and it's the most interesting whiskey I've ever put in a bottle.
Nice. Now, where's that? Is that out yet?
It's in the back.
Okay.
We'll stop over.
Okay, good. Sounds good, Bill. Let's do it. Okay, Yankee Distillers is located in Clifton Park, New York. You can find out all about them by going to yankeedistillers.com. yankeedistillers.com. We'll have recipes on our website, certainly by over the weekend some point. And you can find out more, again, by going to yankeedistillers.com. Scott, Matt, Bill, Ray, thanks for being with us. Thanks for the beautiful morning. That was great.
This was fun.
That was really
fun. That's great.
Thank you very much.